Welcome to the Stipendalia podcast on Canadian employment law updates. My name is Stephanie Weschler, and I'm a partner in the Employment and Labour Group of the Montreal Office of Stipendalia. Today, I welcome my colleagues Aurélie Derigaud-Choquette, a lawyer in the Employment and Labour Group, and Romy Prou, a lawyer in the Litigation Group, both from the Montreal Office. Hello, Aurélie and Romy.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello, Steph.
Today, we will discuss the Charter of French Language as recently amended by Bill 96, adopted on June 1st, 2022. First, I will discuss with Aurélie charter obligations regarding the language of work and the francisation process of businesses. And then I will discuss with Romy some issues related to the conduct of business, such as the language of contracts, product labeling, and commercial signage. So Aurélie, to begin with, can you please give us a little bit of background on the Charter of the French Language and Bill 96?
Yes, certainly. So the Charter of the French Language was adopted in 1977, almost 50 years ago, by the Quebec National Assembly. Since its adoption, many provisions of the Charter have been struck down by the courts, including provisions relating to the language of signage and trademarks, the language of instruction in elementary schools, and the language of legislation and court proceedings. More recently, the Quebec National Assembly adopted Bill 96, which amended the Charter of the French Language. The majority of the amendments contained in Bill 96 came into force on June 1st, 2022, while others will come into force later on. As amended, the Charter states, among other things, that French is the only official language of Quebec and that French is the only common language of the Quebec nation.
Thank you, Aurélie, for that introduction. So since the adoption of Bill 96, many companies have come to us for advice in order to better understand their obligations, particularly in regards to the written documents they send to their Quebec employees. Can you maybe shed some light to us on this issue?
Yes. So the Charter, as amended by Bill 96, explicitly states that employers must provide in French to their Quebec employees, or in French and another language, employment application forms, documents relating to conditions of employment, which includes, for example, documents relating to compensation, benefits and pensions, annual vacations, and any other employer rules and policies, and training documents which are produced for the Quebec staff. This means that all those documents must be available to Quebec employees in their French version. Furthermore, an employee must be able to access the French version as easily as a version in another language, if applicable. The Charter also clearly states that an employer must use French in its written communications addressed to a group of employees or to a specific employee, including communications which follow the termination of the employment relationship. It should be noted, however, that if an employee specifically requests that written communications be made to him in a language other than French, for example, English, the employer may then communicate with the employee in English going forward. This means that, in general, when an employer, whether it be through its managers, human resources, or a supervisor, addresses an individual Quebec employee or a group of Quebec employees, it must address its written communications in French or in a bilingual version, so French and English. The Charter does not, however, specify whether all written communications, regardless of their content, are covered by this obligation. However, it may be possible that failing to provide a communication in French that concerns an essential aspect of the employment relationship to employees, for example, on a change in employment conditions, would be considered a more significant and serious infringement of the Quebec employees' linguistic rights than failing, for example, to provide more trivial communication in French, such as a communication wishing the employees a happy holiday.
Thank you, Aurélie. So I understand that the obligations you described are specific to written communications, but how do we deal with verbal communications to employees?
Yes, so the Charter, as amended, does not provide any formal or particular obligations with respect to verbal communications. That being said, the Charter generally protects the rights of all Quebec employees to carry on their activities in French. Furthermore, as I will explain in more detail shortly, an employer cannot require a person to have knowledge of a language other than French, for example, English, in order to remain in or to obtain a position, unless it is considered necessary to perform the duties of that position. This means that, save certain exceptions, a Quebec employee must be able to work in French without having to use another language. Therefore, an employer would be obliged to communicate verbally in French and not in English or another language to an employee who speaks only French or who prefers to be communicated with in French. However, if an employee is comfortable in English and himself communicates to colleagues in English, the charter would not seem to prevent a manager or other, for example, human resources to communicate verbally with that employee in English. Simply put, although there are no specific rules regarding verbal communications, it is clear that an employer should respect an employee's language preference to be communicated with in French. It is also important to note that the charter does not impose an obligation for two employees to communicate between themselves in French, whether at the cafeteria or in team meetings.
Thank you, Aurélie. That's very clear. So with respect to contractual employment documents, can you just elaborate on the obligations imposed by the charter?
Yes. So in general, all individual employment contracts must be drawn up in French for a Quebec employee to be bound by such contract. The purpose of this charter protection is to ensure that French-speaking employees really understand the employment contracts they are going to sign. The charter provides only two exceptions to this obligation. First exception, the employee enters into a contract in English after having examined the French version of the contract and after having expressly agreed to enter into the contract in its English version. Second exception, the employee was able to negotiate the essential terms of the contract and then expressly agreed to enter into the contract in its English version. It should be noted that, according to Quebec case law, even if an employee has negotiated the amount of his salary and the amount of his bonus, the contract is not considered to have been negotiated when the other essential terms of the contract were imposed by the employer. Therefore, unless one of the two exceptions applies, an individual employment contract for employees located in Quebec must be concluded in French. The charter does not specify what is included within the expression individual employment contract, but this may include all classic employment agreements, stock option agreements, incentive compensation agreements, bonus agreements, termination agreements, release agreements, etc., which are entered into between an employer and an individual employee. This means, for example, that since June 1st, 2022, if an employee signs an employment contract in English without having been presented with a French version of that contract, and that contract includes, for example, non-solicitation and non-competition clauses, the employee could argue in the future that he is not in fact bound by that contract, and therefore by the restrictive clauses included therein, since he had not reviewed a French version of the contract and was not able to negotiate the contract. Similarly, if an employee signs a release in English, upon termination of employment in exchange for a termination payment, the employee could potentially argue that he is not bound by the release if he had not also been provided with a French version of the release. Therefore, despite signing the release, the employee could make a claim for dismissal without sufficient cause against the employer, for example, or could attempt to obtain an additional amount to the termination payment which was agreed upon in the release. It should be noted that this charter provision imposes a burden on employers to translate employment agreements, especially considering that certain multinationals or Canadian companies generally used standard English-only templates.
Thank you, Aurélie. So it's clear that the question as to whether or not a contract will be binding and enforceable is particularly important consideration for our clients. So you mentioned earlier that the charter also provides that an employer cannot require specific knowledge of a language other than French for an individual to enter or remain in a position unless such knowledge is necessary for the performance of the duties of that position. But how can an employer prove that such knowledge is indeed required?
So an employer must prove that it has taken all reasonable means to avoid requiring knowledge of a language other than French. To do so, the charter provides that an employer must meet the following three conditions. First, the employer must have assessed the actual language needs associated with the duties to be performed. For example, if an employer is an engineering consulting firm with several clients in Ontario, therefore English speaking, the employer will be justified in requiring to have engineers capable of communicating and working in English with these clients. The second condition is that the employer must have made sure that the language knowledge already required from other staff members was insufficient for the performance of those duties. So following the same example, the employer must ask itself whether it employs other engineers who already have the required knowledge of English to work with this English-speaking clientele. The employer is obviously not required to ask its bilingual administrative assistants or managers to perform the duties of engineers. Finally, the third condition is that the employer must restrict as much as possible the number of positions that require knowledge of a language other than French. So in the same example, a consulting engineering firm must ensure that it does not ask its administrative assistants or housekeepers, for example, to be bilingual when their duties do not require this. The charter specifies that to meet the requirements of the charter, an employer is not required to undertake an unreasonable reorganization of its business. However, the Office de la Langue Française indicates that the fact that an employee must be in contact with English is not sufficient to justify requiring the knowledge of English. The frequency and complexity of that contact must be taken into account. Furthermore, according to the office, the fact that a company has regular relations with outside of Quebec or that a company operates in a specialized field does not automatically justify the obligation for all employees to have knowledge of a language other than French. Finally, it should be noted that the charter provides that an employer must indicate in the job posting, for example, on LinkedIn or otherwise, the reasons for this linguistic requirement. We often recommend to our clients that they indicate concrete reasons why candidates to the position must be fluent in English, for example, by indicating the approximate percentage of clients, of suppliers, of colleagues, which are located outside of Quebec or who are unilingual English speakers with whom the future employee will be called upon to collaborate or to communicate.
Thank you. That's very clear, Aurélie. So many clients also come to us for advice on the francisation process, which is imposed upon Quebec employers. Can you just explain to us in a little bit more detail this process?
Yes. So currently, the charter provides that companies that employ 50 persons or more in Quebec during a six-month period must register with the Office de la Langue Française within 6 months. So once the office issues a certificate of registration to the company, the company must then complete an analysis of its linguistic situation and give this analysis to the office within 3 months. Note that before June 1st, 2022, this delay was 6 months, not only three. So after receiving this analysis, the office may either first directly provide the employer with a francisation certificate when the office considers that the use of French is generalized at all levels of the company, or second, request that the employer adopt a francisation program within 3 months and not within 6 months, as was the case prior to June 1st, 2022. So in order to generalize the use of French within the company. So the francisation program is basically a plan in which the company, under the strong guidance of the office, determines the measures it undertakes to take within a certain schedule in order to effectively generalize the use of French within the company. The actions to be taken, as recommended or even sometimes required by the office, are determined based on the shortcomings which were previously identified by the office. Once the program has been approved and implemented to the satisfaction of the office issues a francisation certificate to the company. Note that even when the company holds a francisation certificate, it must submit a report to the office every 3 years on the progression of the use of French. If, following its review of the report, the office considers that the use of French is no longer generalized, the office may ask the company to adopt an action plan within 2 months to address this situation. It is really important to note that as of June 1st, 2025, so in less than 3 years, businesses with 25 to 49 employees in Quebec, so not just 50 or more, will also become subject to the same francisation process obligations, which I just discussed. So many small and medium-sized businesses have expressed concern that this will impose an unreasonable administrative burden on them, especially considering they often have fewer resources than larger businesses.
So considering the various obligations imposed on employers, there are many clients that come to us to understand the fines and the penalties which they can be exposed to if they don't respect these obligations, which is understandable. So can you provide us with more details on this?
Yes. So in general, the charter provides that a company is liable to a fine only in two big situations. First, if it hinders, misleads, or refuses to provide information or documents to the office. Or second, if it contravenes an order which was previously made by the office to that company to comply with the charter or to cease contravening it. So in other words, a collaborative approach with the office and responsiveness to their requests would allow a company to avoid becoming liable to a fine under the charter. On the other hand, it is also important to note that the charter provides that the Quebec Civil Administration cannot enter into a contract or grant a subsidy to a company that does not respect its obligations under the charter. So depending on the nature of the business and its industry, these administrative sanctions can have very serious consequences on businesses.
Thank you very much, Aurélie. These clarifications prove to be extremely useful for businesses with employees in Quebec. So let's leave the employment law for a moment and turn to some commercial issues which are affecting companies doing business in Quebec. So Romy, I understand that many of the provisions of Bill 96 affect the way businesses conduct their operations in Quebec, starting with the way they communicate with customers.
Indeed, Stephanie. So first of all, Bill 96 codifies the obligation for businesses that offer goods or services in Quebec to inform and serve their clients in French. This includes clients who are consumers as well as commercial clients. That is to say, this section covers both the right of a consumer, a physical person who enters a business to purchase goods to be served in French, but also the right of a Quebec company that does business with an Ontario supplier or wholesaler, for example, to be served in French in the context of its contractual relationship. This principle, which was already set out in a charter of the French language prior to the adoption of Bill 96, now constitutes an express obligation. Any failure to comply with this newly codified obligation is now punishable by a fine.
So I understand this explicit obligation to serve and inform the clients in French, but from a practical point of view, a client can still choose to be served in English, right?
Yes. So exactly. During the parliamentary debates on this new section 50.2 of the Charter of the French Language, the Minister of Justice, Maître Simon Jolin-Barrette, addressed this concern, which had been expressed by the Conseil québécois du commerce de détail. So the minister was careful to mention that the client, whether a natural or legal person, retains the right to choose a language in which he or she wishes to be served. In other words, if two businesses choose to communicate with each other in English, they are not in violation of this section. The same is true for a consumer who wishes to be served and informed in English in a business or a restaurant, for example.
So just for clarification, this section covers both written and oral communications?
Yes, exactly. So the new provision applies to written communications, which include, for example, email exchanges related to the provision of services, as well as newsletters and other marketing documents. That being said, if a client prefers to be served and communicated with in English, it would be prudent to keep a written record that the person has indeed expressed this preference. This way, if a representative of the Office Québécois de la Langue Française were to conduct an audit, the company would be able to prove its compliance with Section 50.2 of the Charter and that it only serves clients in a language other than French upon request. Obviously, this last point only applies where the contractual relationship is one that extends over time with multiple interactions and is therefore not purely punctual, such as an order in a restaurant, for example.
That's very interesting. So now that we've discussed client communications, are there any other legislative changes that address the language of contracts?
Yes. So on the language of contracts, changes to the law will come into effect on June 1st, 2023, so within a few months. These new rules will apply primarily to contracts of adhesion and consumer contracts. So first of all, a brief reminder of what constitutes a contract of adhesion, even though you've touched upon this subject with Aurélie a few moments ago. So contracts of adhesion are contracts whose main clauses have been drafted by one party and could therefore not be negotiated by the other. Examples of adhesion contracts that are posted on the OQLF website are employment contracts, collective agreements, insurance contracts, leases, and declarations of co-ownership. Currently, Section 55 of the Charter of the French Language provides that contracts of adhesion, contracts containing printed standard clauses, and all related documents must be written in French. However, the law provides that these documents may be drafted in another language if the parties expressly decide so. So this is the famous language clause that is commonly found at the end of contracts drafted in English. So as of June 1st, 2023, the insertion of this clause in adhesion of our consumer contracts will no longer be sufficient. And also as of June 2023, the new rule will require a company to present first a French version of the adhesion contract to the adherent, consumer or business, before the adherent chooses to sign English-only version of the contract. Parties may still choose to enter into an English adhesion contract, but only after having the opportunity to review the French version of the contract.
Okay, so what about the documents attached to the contracts?
So in this case, the accessory follows the principle, as we say. So if the parties choose to enter into an adhesion contract or a contract with standard clauses exclusively in English, the related documents such as invoices, receipts, or discharges could be drafted exclusively in English as well. Otherwise, there will need to be a French version of all the documents related to the contract.
So I think you could probably guess my next question, but are there any exceptions to this basic rule?
Yes, so the above rule, which required that a French copy of any adhesion contract be provided to a party first before it could be executed in English. So the above rule, like I said, does not apply to the following contracts of adhesion if the adherent has specifically requested that the contract be written in English only. So the exceptions are loan contracts, financial instruments, and contracts whose purpose is to manage financial risks, including currency or interest rate swaps, contracts to buy or sell an option, and future contracts, contracts with a person or company engaged in the business of a clearinghouse, contracts entered into a platform for trading a derivative instrument covered by the Derivatives Act, a security covered by the Securities Act, or other personal property provided that the latter is not a consumer contract. The exception also covers an insurance policy when it has no French equivalent in Quebec and meet one of the following conditions. Either it originates outside Quebec or its use is not widespread in Quebec. And finally, a contract that is used in dealings outside Quebec. So it should be noted that the exception applicable to the contract used in dealings outside Quebec is likely to be very important for some businesses involved in cross-border transactions. However, its scope is unclear in the absence of further guidance from Parliament.
So, Flamie, what are the consequences for a company that does not respect this rule?
So, if a French version of an adhesion contract is not provided prior to the execution of the English version, or if it doesn't fit within one of the exceptions, similar consequences to the one that you discussed previously with Aurélie are possible. So, for example, the adherent could ask that the contract be nullified since he did not consult a French version and could not negotiate the contract. He does not have to prove that this caused him prejudice. It will be up to the co-contracting party to demonstrate the absence of such prejudice to prevent the contract from being nullified. The adherent party may also seek a reduction of his obligations equivalent to the damages he has suffered.
Great. So, but what about contracts with the Quebec government?
So the Act currently provides that contracts entered into by the administration, including those subcontracted to it, shall be drawn up in the official language, which means in French. So that's what the charter currently provides. And the quote-unquote administration is defined in Schedule 1 of the charter as and includes the government of Quebec, its government agencies, corporations wholly owned by the government, most municipalities, school boards, and agencies of the Health and Social Services Network, among others. So effective June 1st, 2023, exceptions will take effect. These exceptions include the following. So contracts may be drawn up in English only when the Quebec government contracts outside Quebec. This exception is identical to the one that is currently provided for in the charter. And certain contracts may be drafted in both English and French, including debt contracts, financial instruments, and contracts that have as their object the management of financial risks, certain international and intergovernmental agreements, and agreements with First Nations.
Thank you, Romy. So just shifting gears a little bit, can you tell us about the changes that will affect the labeling of consumer products?
Absolutely. So the current basic rules for commercial labeling is that any inscription of a product, its container or packaging, or on a document or object accompanying the product must be written in French. The regulation respecting the language of commerce and business, however, provides that an inscription on a product or its packaging may be written in a language other than French if it is a recognized trademark within the meaning of the Trademarks Act. However, the Bill 96 provides for new requirements that will affect this exemption. The two new requirements will come into force in June 2025. First, Bill 96 provides that if there is a corresponding French version of the trademark in question, the French version must be used on the product rather than the English version. Secondly, if a generic term or product description is included in the mark appearing in English on the product, the term in question, the generic or descriptive term in question, will have to appear in French on the product or on a medium permanently attached to it. Once again, I will refer you to the parliamentary debates, which are the main source of information as to how to interpret the new legislative provisions, which have not yet come into force. So at the time of the adoption of the new section 51.1 of the charter, which deals with labeling and packaging, the minister mentioned the soft soap example. So in this case, the recognized trademark is soft soap brand, lavender and shea butter washes away bacteria, deeply moisturized to hydrate skin, refill 50 ounces, 1.56 QT, 1.47 liters. Refill over 673 ounces, use 48 less plastic per ounce, 70.5 ounces pumps. pretty long trademark. So under the current rules, since this inscription is a recognized trademark under the Trademarks Act, it does not have to be translated on the hand soap bottle. However, as per the new provision of Bill 96, which will come into force in June 2025, the descriptive terms, which have been identified by the minister as the terms following the soft soap, these terms will need to be translated. The purpose of this new provision is to prevent companies from circumventing the requirements of the law by including as much information as possible in their trademarks. Essentially, the objective is that any information appearing in another language on a product sold in Quebec should also be available in French.
So what are the penalties for non-compliance?
So the OQLF or the office could, for example, order a party that is in violation of the labeling and packaging obligations to take the necessary measures to comply with the charter. It could also order the company to stop selling the product bearing the non-compliant labeling or packaging, or even issue fines. However, in most cases, a notice will first be sent by the OQLF so that measures can be taken to rectify the situation. So it is pretty rare that fines or injunctive measures will be taken from the get-go.
So what about commercial signage rules?
So similar to the rules applicable to commercial labeling, the changes made by Bill 96 with respect to public signs address the exception for trademarks. The general principle is that in Quebec, public signs and commercial advertising must be in French. They may also be in both French and another language, provided that French is clearly predominant. Once again, an exception is made for the use of recognized trademarks in a language other than French, as long as the French language is sufficiently present in the same virtual field. So what does that mean? French is sufficiently present when there is a generic term or description of the products or services concerned around the trademark appearing on the public sign. So for example, when we see Winners, the store, so under Winners, we will see mud, a French word describing what are the type of goods that are being sold at Winners. And same thing for Toys R Us. Now we have Les Jouets Toys R Us. So Bill 96 modifies the exemption provided for trademarks in two ways. So first of all, this exemption, which allows recognized trademarks in a language other than French to appear on an externally visible public signage, will now be limited to trademarks that are registered under the federal trademark. So before it was recognized trademark, but now it is not enough, it must be registered. In addition, French must be clearly predominant on such public signage when it contains any of the following: a trademark in a language other than French, or if the name of a business that includes an expression from a language other than French is included on a signage. So it used to be that French must be sufficiently present, but now it must be markedly predominant.
So I'm sure you're not going to be surprised. Again, I'm going to ask, what are the possible penalties for non-compliance?
So the OQLF may, among other things, request the issuance of an injunction to order the removal of public signs that contravene the charter at the expense of the offending party. However, I would say that usually they prefer to have a cooperative approach, so fines and injunctive reliefs are pretty rare in this case.
So thank you so much, Romy and Aurélie, for this overview of the obligations which are imposed by the Charter, both in regards to the conduct of businesses, but also the conduct of employees in Quebec. So to conclude, can you each tell me what you'll be watching out for in the coming months? Maybe Aurélie, I can start with you.
Yes, so we will certainly be monitoring whether the charter will, from now on, unambiguously apply to companies under federal jurisdiction, for example, banks, airlines, and telecommunications companies. In fact, while the Quebec government recently stated that the charter now applies to federal companies, it remains unclear whether the Quebec legislature has the constitutional authority to do so. The federal reform of the Official Languages Act, currently being debated in Ottawa, may clarify the issue. Indeed, it would appear that Bill C-13 could provide either, one, that businesses under federal jurisdiction in Quebec must be subject to the Quebec Charter of the French Language, or two, that businesses under federal jurisdiction have the option of being subject to either the Quebec Charter or the Official Languages Act.
Thank you so much, Aurélie. So, Romy, what about you?
So we are waiting for the government to publish regulations regarding the new provisions concerning trademarks, both in commercial labeling and in public signage. Indeed, a meeting took place last February between representatives of Intellectual Property Institute of Canada, the INTA International Trademark Association, and the Office of the Minister of the French Language. So why was this meeting so important? It was because
The meeting was to discuss implementation issues with Bill 96 and the impact on brand owners doing business in Quebec. During the meeting, the office confirmed that the drafting of regulations has not yet begun with respect to Section 51.1, which deals with labeling and packaging, and 58.1, which deals with public signs. So these associations raised a number of issues and concerns, especially with respect to Section 51.1, stressing the fact that businesses urgently need more clarity to be able to comply with Bill 96. So in other words, it's going to take a long time for a company to adjust their labeling and packaging. While no concrete commitments were received, the office agreed to keep the lines of communication open and continue discussions. So this is certainly a question that is still open and that we will monitor closely and making sure to inform our clients of any developments in that regard.
So thank you so much, Aurélie and Romy. So for sure, we touched on today about employment, about commercial considerations. The charter has a lot of other issues and considerations, I think, that most companies in Quebec are looking out for. So it should be interesting to follow the developments and see where this takes us. So thank you so much for everything.